listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is November 10th. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Matthew Rasmussen from Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont. Good morning, Pastor Rasmussen.
Good morning, Andy. A blessing to be with you this morning.
Thank you. It's a joy to have this time to study God's Word with you and take a look at Matthew chapter 25. Tell us about your congregation, Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont.
Sure. We are in the beautiful green mountains of Vermont. Our congregation is fairly new as LCMS congregations go. We were organized Easter Sunday, 1951, and our worship services were held on our newly purchased property, a cow pasture. You're with me in Vermont now, right? And the congregation took the service in from their cars as ushers kept cows at bay. I'm told they were attracted by the organ. South Burlington has changed quite a bit since then, and we are one of the more populous areas of the state, and our church has as well, as you might imagine. But we are blessed by our Lord to still be here preaching and teaching the unchanging, life-giving Word of God.
Well, thanks be to God, the opportunity to proclaim the good news of Jesus in South Burlington, Vermont. We are studying Matthew chapter 25 today, verses 14 through 30. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Yes, it's important to know that, first of all, the parable of the talents, it's another kingdom parable, a parable of end times. The kingdom of heaven will be like, Jesus begins. So Jesus prepares his disciples for life after his ascension and for a second coming. It's important to know that this parable is directly connected to the previous parable that you discussed yesterday of the 10 virgins or the 5 foolish and 5 wise virgins. There is really no break between the two. Jesus goes directly from the one to the other. And the parable of the talents is a needful complement to the parable of the 10 virgins. While the parable of the 10 virgins taught the need to be watchful for the return of the bridegroom, our Lord, the parable of the talents teaches that there is work to be done while we watch. To say it another way, The parable of the 10 virgins speaks of the inward spiritual life. We must have oil in our lamps, a living faith. Whereas the parable of the talents, which we will discuss today, now shifts to an external activity. We are to work toward the coming of the Lord. A living faith does not sit idle.
Very good. We are studying Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30 today with Pastor Rasmussen from Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's the toll-free number in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can send us an email, the email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at the text, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents, and he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You had been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And also he who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine, my own, with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right. Back to verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. It will be like. That indicates the beginning of a parable, right?
Of course, yes. Again, and we don't have, then the kingdom of heaven will be like. Mm-hmm. We have the shortened version, but it does. The language continues right through. So this parable is connected directly to the parable of the 10 virgins, and should be thought of as well as a kingdom parable.
So a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Not unusual, I suppose.
No, not terribly unusual for the time. The man, of course, in this parable, Christ, our Lord, and his servants, his disciples or believers. And he is preparing to be away, and he entrusts everything to his servants. So the property is not his servants, but it is given to them, which is important to note.
To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. I find that interesting. According to his ability.
This is interesting. First, what's a talent? That's probably a question that our listeners might be wondering. And it's hard to, it's actually hard to put your finger right on it. We know it's a sizable amount of money. A single talent is a sizable amount of money, a nice inheritance in and of itself. It's the largest measure of money, so to speak. What that equates to in today's terms is where there's a wide range of discrepancy, but I think it's best to just understand it that one talent in itself is a very generous inheritance. And the servants are not given an equal portion, and that's also very, very interesting. We receive, or the servants receive, what they can handle. We receive the perfect portion from our master, the great giver. Our master's resources are not put to ill use, to 1-5, to 1-2, to 1-1, each according to our ability. I liken it to, we can't all preach like Peter, or we can't all teach like Luther, but to receive even a single talent is a great honor.
Mm-hmm. So he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more.
Yes, and this is a faithful servant we see. And how do we know that? He immediately recognizes the value of what's been given to him, and he sets out at once. He immediately goes out and transacts. He uses his talents in the world. He is faithful to his generous master, and his faithfulness is immediately apparent.
So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more, same as the one with 5. He took his 2 and made 2 talents more. Doesn't say how, but I don't know if that's important.
Yeah, I don't know that it does. I think throughout this parable, these 2 servants kind of, they come in tandem. They come together. They are both faithful with what they've been given, although they have not been given the same amount. But they are both faithful with what they've been given. They go out. They use it, and they produce a prophet. And I think, you know, we think of them, but we can easily place ourselves in these in this picture as believers. And I think we don't, it's not necessarily helpful to think of this parable only in terms of money, but to think of all that our Lord has entrusted us with, to recognize that the good things that we have are gifts from our gracious Master, and that we are all endowed very uniquely, separately. We just have three in the parable, five, three, and one, but that gives that's enough to give the picture of variety. And, of course, the variety of gifts that we have is varies infinitely from one to another. But in the long run, which we'll see, it's not the amount that that is important, but that we have each been given a portion.
Verse 18, but he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money.
Yes. So here we have a very different response, and that there's really no immediate response. This servant doesn't appear to have any use for the gift at all or any desire for it. It didn't arouse any response. He responded as if he hadn't been given it. I'm going to go bury this in the ground. Why? I guess just in case the master might want it back. It's akin to saying, well, thanks, but no thanks.
Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So there's a lapse of time. So the master came to the servants and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more.
Right. I think the lapse of time is important. And that's, after the ascension, some of Jesus' disciples were thinking that his return was imminent. And we see here that there is some a period of time before his return, and we know that, of course, today. And I think what's to be recognized in that is it's a period of grace. That is, the talents that he has given have their opportunity to have their full benefit, to reach their full potential. And this is the grace that we are given, the time to use what we have been given by our gracious Master. And so the servant with five talents is faithful, and the emphasis is on the generosity of the Master. And this is really important to note as well. The servant says, Master, you delivered to me five talents. He recognizes that all he has is completely on account of the generosity of his Master. He's received this great gift, been trusted with this, and he would have made nothing at all if it hadn't been for the generosity of the Master. And that's what comes first in his response. You have delivered to me five talents. Here are five talents more. And in the English we have, here I have made, but there's really not much emphasis on the I at all. The emphasis in the sentence is on the Master and what he has done, and that none of this would be possible. The five talents more would not have been possible without the original gift.
And how does the Master respond to the servant who doubles, who comes back with the five talents more? We'll find out in just a little bit. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30 with Pastor Rasmussen from Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont. The toll-free number, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a moment.
Concordia. Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
After reading a thoughtful book, or even part of it, do we not many times want to tell someone else what we've read? Do we not many times wish we could do this with the author? This is exactly what we do on Book Talk, Fridays at 2 p.m., streaming online and archived thereafter for your 24/7 consumption.
Book Talk host Rod Zwanitzer are encouraging you to listen on Worldwide KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is November 10th. We are studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Matthew Rasmussen from Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont. We're in Matthew chapter 25 today, verses 14 through 30. Pastor, we're on verses 20 and 21. And he who received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Pastor, your thoughts here on the master's response?
Yeah, first it's interesting to note that the servant made exactly a 100% return on what he was given. He doubles his what he was entrusted with, his talents. And the master's response is really quite amazing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Okay, that's nice and that's good. But then this next line really stands out. You have been faithful over a little. And this is the servant who was given five talents, the most sizable sum. And five talents was a very sizable sum. And this is called by the master just a little. And I will now set you over much. So it's just a foretaste of what's to come. And what's to come is much, much greater than I believe what we can even imagine. And then it's capped with, enter into the joy of your master. So what an immense blessing this faithful servant receives.
What does that mean, enter into the joy of your master?
Now, that's a good question. I think, again, connecting back to the parable of the 10 virgins, entering into the presence. Now you were faithful in my absence, and now you will be with me. You are with me. You have gained entrance to the wedding feast, so to speak. The door is open, and we now see face to face what we had been faithfully doing without seeing the master face to face, and so. We have this joy now of sharing in the fellowship with our master.
Anything else about this, about the first servant with five talents before we go on to the next one?
I don't think so.
All right. And he also who had the two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. And enter into the joy of your master.
Right. And again, the servant with the two talents is faithful with what he's been given. And his return is exactly the same. His return is 100%. He doubles what was given him. And his reward or treatment by the master is also identical. The response exactly the same. You have been faithful over a little. Again, the two talents are called just just a little, I will set you over much. The exact same wording as the first servant who was given five talents, and enter into the joy of your master. So they are both equally rewarded. Our worth, then, I think we can take from this, it's not measured by what we've been given. That's our common temptation, is to, you know, to look at our neighbor and wish that we had been given what they have been given, or that we could do what they are doing. But our worth is not measured in that. Our worth is measured by our faithfulness and using what we have been given by our generous master. And here I'd like, if I could, just a short quote from Martin Fransman, a book that was one of a book recommended to me by my pastor years ago as I was contemplating entering the ministry, Follow Me, Discipleship According to St. Matthew. And Fransman does a beautiful job of working through all of Matthew's gospel and showing what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And he says here regarding our passage today, every gift of Christ, whether great or small, imposes its claim upon the recipient of the gift. It summons him to ministry and asks of him fidelity. When used faithfully, the talents we have been graciously entrusted with will produce a return. And I think that's kind of the key to the 100%. The fact of the matter is what our master has entrusted us with is good stuff. When it's used, it's going to produce a return. That isn't something we need to concern ourselves with, and we're shown that by the completeness of the return and both the servant with five talents and the servant with two.
Anything else about these servants with five or two talents before we go on to the next, the poor guy with one?
No, I think we can move to the poor guy with one if you'd like.
All right. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours."
Yeah, and we have a very different response here. And we see here with the first two, they're almost grouped together in the text. And here with the third, he is, it's set apart. It's like, and this guy too, he also, who had received the one talent. And it's almost as if he's complaining that he only received one. But as we mentioned earlier on, even a single talent is a sizable sum, an inheritance in and of itself. So it's not just the amount, that it's not a bad amount, is what I'm trying to say. And the third servant's response, he claims to be afraid. So I was afraid. And that's, you know, nothing new there, right? Fear is the great paralyzer, keeps us from doing all kinds of things that we ought to do. But the servant's fear seems to be a little misdirected. that is, he's not afraid to call his generous master hard names or to place the blame on the one who gave him the talent. So his fear seems to be a little misdirected and untrue as well. What he's saying is not true of the quality of the master, which we see demonstrated with the first two servants. But he does speak something that is true. And that's at the very end. Here you have what is yours. This are the last words he speaks to his master there. Here you have what is yours. And we see here, it's revealed to us, that this servant, he never took ownership of what he was given. He never considered it his. And it was plain by how he handled it. He was idle. He was passively disobedient. He did not make any use of this talent at all. But it could have been worse, right? His guilt isn't that great. He wasn't recklessly selfish like the prodigal son. He didn't go out and just waste it or spend it on himself or something like that. He simply did nothing. And he likely did so thinking he could escape blame. And we'll find out shortly, there's really no such thing as straddling the fence. And we'll see that with the reaction of the generous master.
Well, he certainly was. He was afraid of his master. I don't know if the response was what he anticipated. Verse 26, but his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest."
Right. That's the part that doesn't really make sense. If he truly believes his master to be a hard man and knows that he's going to come down hard on him if there's no return, well, he could have at least put his money then that he was entrusted with in the bank and gotten some sort of modest gain. But he doesn't even do that, which really shows us the heart of the servant. He really didn't give the master's gift any value at all. He did not make use of it, and this is a very curious and puzzling thing, as his response is curious and puzzling. And there's no doubt, I'm sure, he had fear, but his fear was, as often fear is, doesn't seem to be grounded in the reality of the master's characteristics.
So the master continues, "So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Take the talent from him, give it to the one who has 10 talents, he says.
Right. And we see there the Lord's response to those who are faithful with what they've been entrusted with. He says, "I will set you over much. You were faithful over a little." And we see kind of a taste of this coming forth already. None of the Lord's gifts are lost. This gift, which was unused, buried in the ground, isn't lost, but it's given to a servant who will be faithful with it. So all of the Lord's talents are eventually put to good use. But I want to step back for just a second, if I have a moment. The stance of the servant with a single talent, I think, is a common mindset that many have. There is fear, and it is real, and we don't know what to do, and we aren't sure what to make of what we've been given. And so a common response is simply to do nothing, thinking that that's a neutral ground, that we're going to be okay if we just kind of hold on to it and just pretend as if nothing happened. But we see with the master's response that we can't straddle the fence. And we see this as well with the foolish virgins. They suffered because they neglected to make preparation. Mm-hmm. And likewise, the servant with the single talent, he suffers because he did nothing with the talents that he was entrusted with.
The last phrase, "and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Yeah, that's pretty harsh, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And again, as I mentioned earlier, this servant wasn't, he wasn't prodigal. He wasn't recklessly selfish. I mean, his guilt seems rather mild, in that he did preserve what he was given. He just didn't make any use of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet that receives the same punishment as one who was reckless, you know, used it recklessly. And, you know, the importance, I think, is on the living faith. Our faith has content and it has purpose and meaning, and we are to use what we have been given. And it's interesting that he didn't give any particular instruction to the servants. He didn't tell them exactly what to do or where to go or how to trade it or who to transact with. There wasn't an instruction booklet given. Yet the two faithful servants just go out and start transacting, and their profits are 100%. And I think that can bring us some comfort as believers and not being afraid of what to use what we've been given, but to know that in using it, it will produce a return. That we need not worry. It just needs to be put into use, shared with the world.
So this worthless servant who was slothful is cast into outer darkness, cast into the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That phrase is used with hell, associated with hell in other parts of Scripture, right?
Yes, indeed it is. And of course, in Matthew 25, what comes next is Jesus' depiction of the final judgment, where this concept is fleshed out in more detail. Well, there is a separation. There are sheep and goats, and it is something that we need take seriously. It is a stern warning.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn?
Well, yes. Being a pastor, I really don't like ending with the sternness of the law. And I think it's important for our listeners to not have fear, and to know that with what we've been given by the generous master, we truly have nothing to lose. The treasures of heaven are ours. Christ Jesus was judged in our place. And we are free in Jesus to do what God has given us to do, knowing that, and this is where we take comfort, that in the doing, it is God at work. He is the one working in us and through us, and he never fails. So we can, without fear, we can go out boldly, and we can use our God-given talents to his glory. And hopefully we can await the day of his return to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master."
Well, thank you for leading us in our study today and helping us look at this parable in Matthew chapter 25, Pastor.
My pleasure. It's been a blessing, truly. And Andy, I thank you for having me, and may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to use the talents you have been given to his glory here on KFUO.
Well, thank you, Pastor Rasmussen. Glad to have you on today. God bless you and all the saints at Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont. Coming up in a little bit, some sacred music to help sanctify your Tuesday morning. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.